restore and make the sun to shine again. I know the master of the wind.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a blessing to be able to say that we know the master. Amen. Amen. And he knows me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Is the Lord good to you tonight? Amen. I'm just grateful. Amen. To be able to have such a caring father. Amen. And we can know him. Amen. And he's just good to us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. Amen. Well, God bless you tonight. We're having our youth-oriented service here tonight as the last weekend, last Sunday of the month, as we have been doing this year. Amen. I believe it's been a blessing. Amen. And so we're just thankful, amen, for God's word. And I just really enjoyed that service this morning. Just really enjoyed the word of God. Amen. Amen. Did you enjoy that?
Yeah,
it was amen, in due season. And tonight I have something on my heart that I've been just trying to kind of get away from it, but it keep coming back to it. And it's just kind of continuing what I had spoke about last time in the youth meeting. And that was not my will, but we want to look at the next sort of step of that. And it's a topic, it's something that, you know, we're not breaking new ground here with this, but like Brother Doug said this morning, he said we want to provoke one another to good works.
Amen.
Amen. So we just would like to look at the subject of sacrificial love tonight. And it's something that we've looked at before, and Brother Doug's taken before many times as subjects, but amen, but feel led to do it, so we just believe that God has a purpose in all of it, amen, and never hurts us to go back and review these scriptures. And I do want to, you know, this is one of those things that it's all through the scripture, and so you kind of have to decide what you're not going to include, and it's so hard, because, oh, that one's so good, that one's so good too, so. We have a lot of scripture that I do want to read. Brother Branham said you couldn't go wrong if you read the scripture, amen. But trust that we'll have a little bit more than that tonight, but we do have some scripture to read. So let's just go ahead and turn into our Bibles and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is the chapter of love, amen. And we're talking about sacrificial love. And I was thinking about, as we direct this to the young people, you know, what would be, you know, I was going to say my fatherly advice if I was advising them, but I'm a grandpa now, so I can give grandfatherly advice, grandpa advice. Does that count for more? I don't know. It may be, you know, you know, it would, whatever advice is worth, you know, I would point to what Jesus said, to love God and to love your neighbor.
Amen.
As yourself. Right? He said those are the, in fact, we'll read that scripture. Let's not get ahead of it. Let's go ahead and just look at 1 Corinthians 13. So, we want to read just a few verses here. Verse 4, charity, of course. That's King James Version English for love, right? Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Well, that just eliminates a whole category of behavior, doesn't it? Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Ooh, there's another one. That just eliminates a whole bunch more stuff there. That's the one we want to look at tonight. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. That's what Brother Doug was talking about this morning, provoked to, you know, the bad provoking, right? But love, sacrificial love, is not easily provoked. It thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. It's not looking for, it's not trying to find problems, right? It doesn't rejoice in other people's failings. But it rejoiceth in the truth. It beareth all things, and believeth all things, and hopeth all things, and endureth all things. And in case all those charities and ifs and thes and whatever in the King James confuses you, I would like to read it also in the Amplified tonight, because it gives us a good expanse of the English understanding of this. Love endures with patience and serenity. Love is kind and thoughtful and is not jealous or envious. Love does not brag and is not proud or arrogant. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not provoked or overly sensitive and easily angered. Amen. It does not take into account a wrong endured. It doesn't even take it into account. So dealing with someone, it doesn't think about, oh, you know, hey, remember the time when they... It doesn't account that. It does not rejoice at injustice, but rejoices with the truth when right and truth prevail. Love bears all things regardless of what comes. Believes all things, looking for the best in each one. Amen. Hopes all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times. And endures all things without weakening. Amen. Now that is a big, tall mouthful of godly attributes. Amen. And by God's grace, that's what we want to deal with tonight. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, and your spirit, Lord, that comes to anoint your word. We thank you, Father, for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice for us. Lord, you are the one that demonstrated and showed us what sacrificial love, what real, true, godly love looks like. And Lord, I pray tonight as we look into your word, Lord, that you would make that alive in us, Lord. Stir that up in our hearts, in our lives. Stir it up in these young people's lives, Lord, that they may live a godly life and may live godly love, Lord, to the people around them. Father, won't you bless us tonight as we just set this time aside for you, Lord. And we commit our hearts and our thoughts and our minds totally on you and your word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Amen. So just kind of continuing this from the thought that I had last time, which was not my will, but thy will, right? It's a sacrificial, and they spelled my name wrong. My name's not Ande. I'm like off the street here, you know. Yeah, I'm Brother Ande. Yeah. Amen. That's all right. At least I got my last name right. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we're looking for not my will, moving away. We're moving away from self-will, right? And we're looking for God's will. And we were sacrificing our self-will and submitting our self-will to his will, right? And so what we're talking about is sacrificial love, sacrificing our own needs and desires for someone else. Amen? So you see, it's a continuation of that. That is divine love. That is God's love. God's love expressed is sacrificial love. Amen? It's sacrificial in nature. That is, it's not oriented towards self. It's not pointed towards self. It's not focused on self, but it's focused outward. Amen? It's aimed at others. Love of self is part of the fallen nature. Amen? That's what we're born with, is love of self. Generally, we don't have too much trouble with that. Loving ourself. That's something that comes naturally to us. Amen? That's why the Bible says that our nature is at enmity with God. Why? Because we love ourselves. Amen? Our flesh, man, our fallen nature that we're born with is self-willed and self-loving and proud. Amen? That is what Satan is featured in. Satan is the epitome of pride. Amen? And of self-love and self-lifting up self, which is just the opposite of God. God is the greatest that there is, but he is featured in making himself low, making himself humble. Satan, he's the lowest creature there is. The most dreadful, disgusting creature. Amen? Because he's proud and lifted himself up. Because he's focused on self. Those are the two extremes. Amen? Focus on self, or self-seeking, or seeking what is best for others. Amen. So we find all through the scripture that it's a defining characteristic of God that he is sacrificial in nature. Amen? Sacrificially loving. Not self-seeking, but love that bears and believes. Amen? As we read in 1 Corinthians. Not concerned with wrongs that have come against you, but thinking about the other person. Feeling sorry for the other person. Amen? One of the greatest examples that Brother Branham gave in his life about how he knew his life had changed was when he was going to shut off a woman's utilities. You remember the story, and he talks about how she called him all kinds of names, and he called his mother names, and all kinds of filthy things come out of her mouth. And in his old nature, he would have just popped her. Right? He would have hit her, woman or not. Right? He would have let her have it. But instead, because his nature had been changed, he began to feel her need. He saw her need and he felt sorry for her. He began to say things like, the poor fella. Right? He began to have empathy for her and actually a love toward her. Because he was, and here's the thing, brother, sister, and we, everything always comes back to this. Because we speak about how we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but we're in a spiritual battle and all things become spiritual. And so, what he was looking at was no longer, he was looking at a woman who was cursing him out and saying all kinds of horrible things about him. But instead, he saw a soul that needed God. A soul that needed to be saved. A soul that was bound by Satan and was headed for hell. And he felt empathy for the soul. No matter what the woman was doing on the outside, no matter what the vessel was doing, no matter how she was despitefully using him and speaking evil against him, there was a soul in there. And he was looking at the soul. Amen? This is true crucifixion of yourself that Paul speaks about. Amen? This is denying yourself, your self-will and desires. If he had let his flesh have his way, his flesh would have just took care of the problem. Right? That's the easy road. That's the easy way. Go the way of the flesh. The hard way is to absorb it, to take it, to take a punch, to take a hit, to take the abuse, to try and save the soul. Amen? But isn't that what Jesus did? On every count, isn't that what he did? Amen? It's the exact opposite of what the world preaches to you to do. The world says, defend yourself, fight back. Get what's yours. Go take it. But the Word of God says something different. So coming back, what would be my advice to a young person? The best advice I could give. It's this. Mark 12, verse 29. Jesus answered him and said, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. That's the first thing that we should do. Amen? Amen. Not the first suggestion, right? Jesus, you say the commandments, that's Old Testament. This is Jesus bringing the Old Testament and magnifying it. Yes. Amen? Love the Lord your God with all thy heart. And, he says, the second is like this. Is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. So love God and love others with sacrificial love. That's the advice. Well, how do I do that? You have to get the one who has that love in you. Amen? Amen. These are great commandments. And neither of these commandments of God to us are about us. It's you facing out. It's you loving someone else. Loving God and loving your neighbor. Focused on others. Amen? These are not optional, but they are commandments. This is not, oh, if you feel like it. No, it must be fulfilled. Amen? Christ fulfilled the Old Testament, and he fulfilled the law, and he will fulfill those commandments in you. Amen. Anybody born of the Spirit of God will fulfill these commandments. They have to, or the word can't be broken. Amen? Only the born-again believer has this type of love. They possess it, it possesses them. Amen? That sacrificial love that loves God with all your heart and loves your neighbor, someone else, as yourself. Amen? There is a bride, there is a people that will have this on display. That will live this kind of love out. Right. Amen. You believe that? Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 6, verse 29. I told you we got a lot of scriptures. We're going to go through them here. Amen. Unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. As you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. Amen. This is often called the golden rule. Right? The golden rule is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Right? Probably heard that. Amen. But I have adjusted this a little bit in my life by asking a question. And, you know, there's people will say, you know, if you want to know what to do in a certain situation, they have little sayings like, you could ask the question, what would Jesus do, right? Ask the question, and that's how you'll find the answer of what you should do in a certain situation. So I myself ask a question when something comes up, when it pertains to this. And my question is, what is best for them? Right? I have a lot of options in front of me. I have a lot of a circumstance arises with another person and I have a lot of options. I have a lot of different ways that I could act. I could act sad. I could act happy. I could be nice to them. I could be mean to them. I could, right? All these things, ways that we can act among people, actions that we can take. And we make those decisions every day, how we act towards people. But as my own guiding principle for that, I ask the question, what is best for them? What's the best thing? If I could do A, B, or C, is A better for them? Is B better for them? Or is C better for them? Notice, none of that is what's best for me. Or what makes me feel the best. It's what is best for them, right? Now, that is in eternal context. So, it's not just best for them in their flesh, but what is best for their soul. Amen. Amen? The overriding theme is to answer that question tonight. What is best for their soul in this circumstance? Using our example with Brother Branham, where he had the woman, if he would have just punched her out, that doesn't help her soul at all, right? Even if he just said, yes, ma'am, or whatever, and walked away and then prayed for her, had compassion on her, that's a prophet praying for her soul, right? If he was angry with her, he couldn't pray for her soul. But having compassion on her, that's the best thing for her soul. It might have made him feel better to lash out and defend himself and, you know, well, if that's the way it's going to be, I don't have to take this. I'm out of here. Right? He could have done that. But what was best for her soul? Her best for her soul was a son of God having compassion on her and praying for her soul. Amen? You say, well, why would I have to deal with somebody like that? Because that's how God deals with you. Amen? He gives you what's best for your soul. That's how God deals with us. Every situation that comes in your life, God has a decision whether he will allow it or not. Everything that, every footstep, everything that Satan tries to throw your way, God makes a decision on it. And the way he decides is what is best for your soul. Not what is best for your flesh. Not what makes you happy in your spirit. But what is best for your soul. Amen? His love constrains him to do what's best for your soul. Isn't that wonderful? Because he loves you. Amen? Do you think it's pleasant for God to see you go through trials and hardships? If he can be touched by the feeling of your infirmities, my guess is he doesn't like it any more than you do. He's been through those things. He knows how painful it is. That's why he could grieve at Lazarus' grave and yet know he was going to raise him from the dead. Because he feels the hurt of trials and things that we go through. But yet he has perfect love that constrains him and looks at what's best for your soul. And he knows they're going through this hard time and I feel for them. But I know it's for their good. Amen? It's not pleasant for him. It's not pleasant for us. But he's looking out for what is best for you. Amen? Hallelujah. Receiving a miracle. You're sick or you're infirmed. And you want a miracle, right? Everybody wants, Lord, I just want it to stop. I want it to change right now. Isn't that our attitude? It is for me. Amen? If I have a need in my body, I don't want to wait. I don't want to have to work for it. Lord, I just give me a miracle. This is one time, Lord. Amen? Just come down and change it. Amen? Anybody else pray that? But yet, If that's not what's best for you, God's not, he's going to allow you to go through the trial of believing and holding on to his word by faith to receive your healing. Why? Because that's better for your faith. It's better for you in the long run. Amen? That's the love of God. The sacrificial love of God. Because the easy way would just be to give it. You know? Amen. This used to be normal when parenting. Right, this used to be just normal in society, normal parenting, where parents would say, no, that's not good for you. Amen? Or society decided at some point that we need to, give in to every little whim. And we have to let the child run things and decide for themselves. They can even decide what gender they want to be. Instead of a parent, listen to this now, a parent looking forward through time. Say, how do they do that? Experience. Amen. Any parents, you ever done that? You can see. You know what's happening. You know how this is going to end. Amen. What are you doing? You're looking forward through time. I've seen this before. I know exactly how it's going to end. Amen. Because I've experienced it. And the parent is equipped to look forward through time and say, nope, that's not good for you. Amen? Amen. What is best for you, even though this other situation is best for you, even though it causes you short-term discomfort. Well, God does that too. He really looks forward through time. He's looking at the beginning from the ending. Time is, he sees all of time stretched out before him. He sees yesterday the same as today, and 1,000 years ago is the same as tomorrow. He sees all of it. And he knows exactly what's best for us. And so when we come into a situation, he doesn't just look forward to time. He's looking at the ending, and he's giving us exactly what we need. What is best, though it caused short-term discomfort. Amen? Amen? So the Bible says here, where we read, it says that if someone smacks you on the cheek, smiteth. Someone smiteth you on the cheek. Amen? Well, that's an example, but we want to take this further into spiritual things, right? It's speaking of something. It's not just somebody walks up and slaps you. I mean, hopefully that's not happening very often, right? But what is happening is someone's doing you wrong. Someone says a lie about you. Someone's gossips about you. Someone, whether they meant to or not, maybe they just, stabbed you in the back, right? Figuratively, not literally. Amen? Well, that's what it's talking about, right? It's someone does you wrong. And so you smite them back, right? Well, the Bible says you turn the other cheek. Well, that's a spiritual principle. It's showing that you're willing to endure whatever is necessary without retaliation. Amen? Instead, you turn away and you pray for them. You endure for them. You try to reconcile for them. Amen? You have a love for them that cares for their soul. Because with a spirit like that, if they're attacking you or they're backbiting or gossiping, they've got issues. They need help. Yeah. They don't need you to fight back. Right. They need you to pray for them. Amen. They need you to reach out to them. They need you to win them over. Amen? consider their soul. That's the most important thing. Amen? You might want to just beat them silly. Amen? That might be what feels best. And maybe there's a situation where that is what's best. This is not a license. By the way, you know, there's always these give and take things in the scripture, and people would use this and say, well, that means we can never, that scripture right there means we can never fight back physically, right? Well, no, it's just showing you a principle. Amen? You remember brother, I love the example Brother Brown tells us about. He tells us about the evangelist that went into a town. Remember the story? And he was in there cleaning the church, and the town bully came up and he said, you're not going to have a revival in here. And he said, well, why not? Because I'm not going to let you, right? I'm paraphrasing. And he said, well, what do I got to do? He said, you got to go through me first if you're going to have this revival. And he said, okay, if that's the next thing I got to do, then let's do it. Let's get to it. Right? And they threw down and he beat him up. So he could have the revival. Right? But you see, the revival is what was best for that man's soul. Right? He wasn't just beating him up because he hated him. He wasn't beating him up because he was mad at him and he was angry and he was going to defend his pride. Right? He was beating him up so that he could have a revival so he could reach his soul. So it has nothing really to do with physical, you know, violence one way or another. It's the attitude of why are you doing it? Because it could be physical and it could be emotional or verbal, just the same. And if all that's coming out of your mouth is prideful, arrogant, I'm defending myself, I have a right, how dare you? Right? That's the wrong attitude. But he went to physical violence because, well, that was the next thing he had to do to have a revival. He wasn't angry. It wasn't personal. Right? You understand the difference? And we can defend ourselves and love somebody while we're doing it. You know that? If somebody physically attacked you, you could have compassion on them and physically defend yourself. Yeah. If somebody attacked me, I'd be praying the whole time, Lord, help them. Deliver them from this. I'd have compassion on them. There's something wrong. Amen? But, you know, I'd probably protect myself a little too. Right? So Mark chapter 10, verse 42. Jesus called unto them and saith unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority on them. So he's speaking about the attitude of the Gentile world on leadership and people that lifted themselves up. He says, but so shall it not be among you. You are different. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you shall be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And to give his life for a ransom for many. We are called to be servants, and the greatest among us will be the greatest servant. The one who can submit themselves the most and surrender the most and give the most, that's the greatest. Right. Amen. Amen? But that takes humility. Humility. Amen? We have greatness turned upside down in our society. Our society lifts up and says, you need to lift yourself up and put yourself out there to be great. And certainly the kings of Jesus' time, they would have never, you know, they were lording over the people. The exercise of power. Amen. That was how they showed how great they were. How many men they could command to go this way and that way and do their smallest little bidding. Amen? But he says, you're not that way. We are to exercise sacrifice. Matthew 23:11 says, he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Another example of upside down. Amen? The world's thinking is upside down. Down is up, and up is down. You want to get up? Go down. Amen? The wrong attitude won't get you there. You say, oh, I really want to be lifted up, so I need to force myself to be humble. Right? Because the scripture says that if I'm humble, then I'll be lifted up, exalted. And I want to be exalted, so I'm going to make myself humble. That's fake humility. Right? You can't fake sacrificial love. You can't fake your way to be exalted in the kingdom of God. Amen? Even Satan knows these laws, and he tries to mimic these attributes of God. He tries to mimic humility. He tries to mimic somebody who's religious and pious, right? That's what religious demons are. They're trying to mimic true believers and the true attributes of God, and they try and, oh, they look so humble. Amen. Brother Doug always puts it like, you know, when they shake your hand, they're just trying to get lower than you. And how humble can you be, right? You're faking something. Satan tries to counterfeit this love, this sacrificial love, but he can't do it because he is himself full of pride. And that always comes through in a person. Amen? Who's consumed by that, because everything ends up being about them. Right? It's always about them. Everything comes back around to them. What is that? It's pride. Amen? I mean, our online social media culture right now is horrible for that. Everything is about, oh, me, me, me. Look at me. Look at me. Right? I mean, we have in this age invented something we called a selfie. It's got it right in the name. Self. Selfie. I'm going to show you a selfie. And I'm going to show you another selfie. So that you can see self. Right? That's selfish. That's self-centered. It's all right there in the name. Amen? So, no, not me. I just do usies. Well, usies and selfies. Usies are just multiple selfies. Amen? For you boomers out there, an usie is multiple people in a selfie. It's all about self. You say, well, I'm trying to help people. No, you're trying to be look like someone who's helping people to pump up your own pride. Right? So we have to watch out for these things. Are you doing something so that, you know, eventually I'll get recognized for it? Or are you doing something hoping that you'll never be recognized? Amen? Or not caring that you're recognized? I just want to be seen and heard, and oh, I'm just out there trying to help people. That's what the influencers are saying, right? But they're just feeding their own pride. Amen? Philippians 2:2 says, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. In lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man to his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, this is just good, sound, biblical advice, but it's also a commandment. Amen? Esteem others above yourself. Look out for others, not just be consumed with your own problems. You know, I'm convinced that people would have a lot of better attitude when they came to church if they weren't thinking about themselves all the time. Right? Try this next time. You come in, leave your problems out there. You can pick them up when you leave if you want. Or you can just leave them. That's fine too. But think about others. Who can I pray for? I come in, who can I pray for? Amen? Does somebody need something here tonight? Does somebody need something? Come in on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night. Maybe my brother or my sister needs something. Amen? Maybe they need to have faith raised in the building so that their faith can be lifted up so they can be healed or they can be delivered of something. Maybe I need to create an atmosphere so that they can get what they need. But no, what are we doing? We're thinking about me. Well, this sermon doesn't pertain to me. I don't know why he's preaching this. This isn't for me. Well, maybe not. Maybe it's for somebody else that needs it. But how can you help them get it? By creating an atmosphere, by pulling on the word, by having the right attitude, by praying while the preacher's preaching. But so many times we're just thinking about ourselves. I'm guilty of it. Thinking about, wow, you know, how does this apply to my life? I'm not sure. You should apply the word to your life. I'm not saying don't do that. But then don't just start shoveling it. Well, tune it out. Right? Oh, God, help somebody else too. Lord, help your children get this. Amen? Esteem others above yourself. It's a great remedy for depression. It's a great remedy for melancholy, for the blues. Amen? Instead of sitting and dwelling on your problems, which you will have. You know what happens when you sit and dwell on your problems? They get bigger and bigger. They never get smaller. The more you dwell on them, the bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger they get. But if you follow this principle in the Bible, instead of looking at your problems, you focus on others. And you start to notice things. Wow, I didn't realize that sister, she's going through something. That brother's going through something. I can pray for them. Look at that. Look at what they're going through. Look at what that family is enduring. I can pray with. I can pray for them. Nobody else needs to know. You don't have to say anything. A demon of suicide is selfish. You know that? Suicide is the most selfish act anyone can commit. And a demon of suicide is a selfish demon that hates itself, that's trying to get you to hate yourself, and is trying to get you to look at every little thing and amplify it in your life so that you hate yourself and hate your life and you just want to get rid of it. Amen? You want to fight that, you think about others. You focus on others. You put the needs of others. It's counterintuitive, I know, right? You think, no, I need to focus on me and get myself right. No, think, try and help somebody else. Focus on others. Pray for others. Amen. Luke 22:24 says, there was also strife among them. Which of them would be accounted the greatest? They were just human. They weren't born again. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. They were just men. Amen. And they were, you know, jockeying for position. Who wants to be the greatest? And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship on them, that they exercise authority on them called benefactors, but you shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For what is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serves. Amen. The world has it upside down. Our king became servant to all. Amen. Is that right? Amen. From the anointed ones at the end time, he says, many times I forget to recognize ministers. I guess maybe our brother Neville, a precious man, and these other brethren here, we're happy to have you. He says, now we may disagree with you, brother, to be different. Not that we disagree with you, brother, to be different. Many of you here might be Trinitarian preachers. We don't want to be angry with you. We love you. If I didn't believe that, I'd never leave this church till I got down on my knees and said, God, make me right. He, as Elijah, he could have called fire. He could have called a bear, figuratively speaking, right? But instead, he had a feeling for the people, right? And he said, I can't do anything unless I love the soul. So even when he's blasting the ministers, even when he's blasting the organizations, he was always careful to say, not the people in them. He loved the souls of the people. And he wanted what was best for them, but what was best for them was to hear the truth. Right? It was the truth being spoken in love. Not to harm, not to hurt, but to bring their soul into the right path with the word of God. And he said, if I don't have that attitude, I gotta get on my knees and make it right. Amen. What about us? Amen. And we as ministers have to examine ourselves. Amen. We can't let the flesh get in the way. Whatever we bring, whatever attitude we have towards the people or bringing the word, it has to be with the attitude, Lord, I want to do what's best for your people. We don't want to get in the flesh. Amen? But we want to do, even if it's hard for us, we want to say what is best for the soul. He says, I don't want that arrogant, selfish spirit mixed up with mine. I want my spirit to be pure and clean. Brotherly love, holy with the Holy Spirit. Now, if someone does anything wrong to me, that's all right. See, when you have that spirit, that clean, pure, brotherly love, that sacrificial love in your spirit, then if someone does you wrong, he says, that's all right. Amen? Though I might have the right to get back at them, I don't want that in my life. Why? That'll eat away at your life. It'll be a cancer in your spirit. He says, no, I want to have love. I want to be ready to correct with love that absolutely answers out yonder for it. Amen. And so many times, people get offended by the word of God coming in correction, and they say, where's your love? Why don't you have love? That is love. Love is corrective. Amen? The love of God is constraining the minister or whatever, whoever is speaking the word to go to what the need of the soul is. That's why, if Brother Doug seems hard sometimes, the word is coming to speak to your soul. Get your flesh out of the way. Amen? It's what you have need of in the soul. What is best for the soul? That's sacrificial love. A pastor doesn't want to do that. That's a pastor sacrificing. You should be thankful. When a pastor will sacrifice his own need for acceptance, his own desire to be loved or to be to be liked, for his own desire for people to pat him on the back and say, oh, you're so good to us, and any human emotion, he sacrifices that for what's best for your soul. Amen. And we should be thankful for it. We should receive it that way. Amen. So we want to look at a few examples here in tonight of this. Obviously, Jesus was the perfect example of sacrificial, perfect love, right? He embodied it. He was God's love embodied. So let's just look at some examples, more examples here in the scripture. John chapter 13, verse 12 says, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I've done to you? What do you mean, Jesus? You washed our feet. You see, he was seeing if they caught it. You know what I've done? Do you understand what is happening here? I don't know. You're washing our feet. What's happening? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Amen. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, and neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Now, of course, we absolutely observe foot washing, right? But it's speaking of something. It's speaking of putting another's needs above your own. It's speaking of humbling yourself, humiliating yourself, right? They had all kinds of nasty stuff on their feet. Animal dung and whatever, you know, whatever nasty stuff that was out on the roads, at least very dirty and stinky. And he humbled himself. His love constrained him to show that he was serving them. And he said, you do the same. Amen. By example, the kings of that day wouldn't be caught dead doing such a thing. Kings of this day wouldn't be caught dead doing such a thing. Right? Why? Because he's leading in humility. 2 Corinthians verse 8 says, chapter 8 verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. He laid down his riches in heaven, amen, to become poor, so that we could experience his riches. Hallelujah. These are examples. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom for many. That was the whole reason he came. That was the purpose of his life. Amen? Was to sacrifice and to sacrifice and to sacrifice and then to be a sacrifice. Luke 6:35 says, but love your enemies and do good. And lend, I mean, some of us don't even get to the first part, right? Love your enemies. Whoop, I tuned out. Love your enemies and do good. And lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. And you shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. It's easy to be kind to somebody who's thankful, right? It's easy. If you want people to be kind to you, be thankful, right? That's easy. That's the best way that you can generate goodwill and to have somebody be kind to you. It's just be courteous and thankful. But we're supposed to be kind to the unthankful. That's hard. Amen? That takes sacrifice. That takes humility. Amen? To be kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Jesus died for those that hated him. Right? It's easy to say, well, you know, yeah, you know, my buddy, man, I would sacrifice for him. I would give my life or for my wife or for somebody I love. What about those that hate you? Why? Because that's what they needed. That's what would help their soul. That was what their souls needed. They needed a sacrifice. They needed him to die for them. It's not what they deserved, but it's what they needed. Now I can just switch one little word. It's not what we deserved, but it's what we needed. Amen? And then we are to do the same. Our faith will produce that same kind of sacrificial love. Let me just read you several. We're just quick fire here. A bunch of a few more scriptures here. James 1:27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Amen. If you have the love of God, you'll do these things. You'll help others, bless them, and stay unspotted from the world. Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We are not under the law of Moses, but we are under the law of love. Right? Fulfilling that law is bearing one another's burdens. 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received a gift, the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God has given you his grace. How about you share that with others? Amen? Even so, minister the same one to the other. As we have received from God, minister it to somebody else. From that day at Calvary, Brother Branham says this. He says, what's the use of me trifling around here with the very thing that I was born to do? I was born to be a son of God, and here I am holding on to the things of the world. God, let me be crucified today. Let me crucify today myself and my ideas, that I might live with Christ and live for others. So he's trying to help people to pray. Amen? No matter what they do to me, if they make fun of me, if they persecute me and say all evil against me and things, let me just humbly walk along, meek like a lamb, like he did. Someday he's promised to raise me up again at the last days. I'm looking for that day. Would there be some more hands go up? God bless you. Amen. So you see, those that are coming to Christ, he's laying out what it means. Amen? Let me be crucified today. Let me crucify myself and my ideas. No matter what anybody does to me, whether they make fun of me or persecute me, say evil things, let me walk humbly. Amen? Is that your prayer tonight? Yes. It's from the message I have heard, but now I see. He says, see, we don't use the gift of God for commercial. No. He could tell me where it was at, but I don't have any need of it. So he's speaking about how his gift, you know, of discernment and things, he could use it a lot of different ways for personal gain, right? He says, but I wouldn't even have faith enough to ask him. See, if I had a need of it, I believe if I'd ask him, he'd tell me. But first, you see, your motives and objectives has to be right. You have to have reasons for this. God just don't give you those things just because you ask. You cannot ask in faith unless there's a real objective to it, to be in the will of God. See, if you want to be well, what do you want to be well for? If you want to be healed, what's the reason you want to be healed? What are you telling God? What do you want to do with your life when you get healed? You've got to have a motive and objective, and they have to be right according to the will of God. And then when there's faith is revealed to you and God by his sovereign grace places that faith in there, then it's over. See, he says, now to make that word true. So, you know, it comes down to our motives and objectives, right? It comes down to are we wanting something to lift ourselves up? Are we trying to help somebody? Right? Are we trying to be a blessing? He says, now to make the word true, when the brethren got down there, They got one fellow went over and bought a bunch of stuff and sold leases and cheated the other one this way. And I said, you see, it won't work. He's talking about men that they were making a business deal and doing different things. He says, now, just to make the prophecy sure, within 100 yards of where these men were digging their well, some man struck the big gusher. So, this was about, it was oil. They were looking for oil and they were trying to use the gift, right, to be able to find some oil and different things. And Brother Branham prophesied, but it comes down to motive, right? So that's where we're going to get to it here. But he's saying, you know, the gift was still operating perfectly, right? Even amongst all of that. But he said, even the prophecy, within 100 yards of where they were digging that, another man struck a big gusher, and there it is, 1,100 barrels of oil in a half a day or something like that, still putting it out right there in the mainstream. Just to make the prophecy, the word that had been said, it was there. The rest of them nearly all dried up everywhere through Kentucky. Little ponds, they pump them up a little while, and then they go. It's only the overflow from this, see? But because of the selfishness that got among it, the objectives was wrong, signing up a bunch of stuff that it would be this way when they promised they would do it for the kingdom of God, but look like it's for themselves. See? It won't work. And I don't care if it's in the church or in the world. The motive's wrong, it's wrong. Amen? Many years ago, there was different pyramid schemes going through the church. And oh, you know, well, those are selfish. Not our church, but different places, right? And people were trying to spiritualize it and say, oh, you know, the bride this, and oh, the bride has these blessings of heaven. It was selfishness. It was self-centered. Brother Ben says they promised they would do it for the kingdom of God, but it looked like it's for themselves, see? And it won't work. No selfish thing will work. Your motives and objectives has to be exactly perfectly right. And then you have faith. To ask, if our heart condemns us not, we have confidence, see? But we've got to have confidence. I want this to the glory and honor of God. Then faith has a channel to move into. If it doesn't, you've got mental intellectual faith and not genuine faith from God. That intellectual faith will get you nowhere. Might get you emotion, but it won't get you the healing that you're looking for. Amen. And just another one here on that day in Calvary. He says he was just one man, the perfect man. He gave his life and he made an example for you. So what must we do? Now, the first thing I want to say is Jesus never lived for himself. His life was spent for others. He says that's perfectly eternal life. When you say you go to church and you do good things, that's fine. But when you live your life to yourself, you haven't got eternal life. Man, that's kind of what I was saying about, you know, coming into church sometimes we're so focused on ourselves. Right? But what about others in the body? When you live your life to yourself, you haven't eternal life. Eternal life is living for others. It proved it when it come in the Lamb of God. He lived and had eternal life because he did not live for himself. He lived for others. And you receive eternal life by receiving that day. And you don't live for yourself no more. You live for others. Someone said, how can you stand and let anybody call you such bad names? You don't live for yourself. You live for others, that you might redeem that man. You become sons, and the trouble of it is the church has forgotten they were sons. You are sons. You're taking Christ's place. You are sons, so don't live for yourself, live for others. Amen. And I hope this is what we're getting to you young people tonight, that this is the way, amen, the best way to live your life. Is to live for others. He says, Brother Branham, I can live for this brother because he's such a nice man. That's not it. Live for the man who hates you. Live for the person who'd kill you if they could. That's what they'd done to him. They killed him and he died that he might save them. That's eternal life. But when you get in your bosom that you're facing heaven, you sacrifice your own things and you give them up like a sheep gives its wool, and you look on towards Calvary. I hope this helps you get to a place. That's what the tabernacle, that's what all people has got to do, to find out what you are and what the purpose. God isn't going to church just to play, or church isn't going to church just to play music, sing songs. Church is a place where correction and judgment begins at the house of God. We must reckon ourselves dead and alive to Christ. And he made a way that we could sacrifice ourselves to his service to follow him. And if we follow him, we lead the life that he led. Amen. That's a hard thing. That's a hard thing. Amen. That's why you have to have the liver in you, the one who has eternal life, to live it in you. Amen. But there's lots of examples that we are given about this type of love. Brother Branham gives us another example when he tells the story of Bert the Hunter. Right? They're out hunting, and this guy who's just, man, he's a hard man. He's an outdoorsman, he's a woodsman, but he's a hunter, but he's a hard man, hard case. Right? And he makes this little call to call as a fawn call, which is a baby deer, and to blow on that to get the mother deer to come out. Right? And the deer are all hiding, and there's no way that they would ever come out in the daylight. They go nocturnal, where they only come out at night, they feed at night, and they get water at night, and they're all hiding out during the day. They would never move a muscle, and you'd never know they're there. But he blows on that little call, and it's a fawn call, and a mother deer believes it's her fawn, and she stands up and sees the hunter. Right? And knowing that it's danger, knowing that she's probably going to die, but there's something in her that drives her, and it's a sacrificial love for her fawn. Her baby is in trouble. And that he sees that, this hard man sees that, and it just melts him. And it softens him, and he realizes, and he's seeing something real. Sacrificial love does that. Amen? And you don't know, but maybe there's somebody watching your life. And they're watching you go through things, and they're watching you be persecuted, or they're watching you, right, go through a trial, or they're watching you, somebody come against you or do you wrong. It's not just the person that is antagonizing you, maybe, but it's somebody else that's seeing it happen. What about their soul? And you're an example for them, and they see you return evil with good. And they see you having sacrificial love and praying for people instead of fighting back, instead of or biting back, right? With gossip or whatever, words or whatever. And they might be like Bert and see that. And it might melt their heart, soften them. Or they might say, you have something that I need. Amen? But a mother, it's beautiful because he's talking about motherhood and the reality of motherhood. And motherhood, in our natural terms, that's the closest thing that we have to true sacrificial love, to God's sacrificial love. A mother's love is the closest thing that we have to it. It isn't it, but it's the closest thing to it. And even the Bible says, you know, a mother can forget, but I will never forget you. Amen? And when we see a mother's love broken, brother, sister, that's why it's so devastating. Because in this world, in this fallen world, that's the purest form of love outside of God's love that there is. And in this age, they want to tear it down and turn it around and make mothers kill their own children. Amen? But a mother's love or a father's love, a father will sacrifice for his family. His father will work long hours and sacrifice his own hopes and dreams and desires for his family to provide their needs. He'll sacrifice his health sometimes, his very body. He'll sacrifice. And those are just earthly examples. Amen? But what about our loving Father? Hallelujah. So let me just wrap this up with this thought here tonight. We come back to a paradox. You know what a paradox is, right? It's something that it doesn't look like it should be true, but it is true. It doesn't make sense that it's true, but it is true. Right? It defies our reasoning and our intuition, and it doesn't look right. But it's true. It's a paradox. The paradox is, by giving, you receive. Amen? By the way up is down. Amen? Matthew 16:25. Whosoever will save his life will lose it. That's a paradox. But this is the word of God. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. You want to save your life? Lose it. Amen? You trying to hold on, you can't. You can't save your life. But if you give it to him, he'll save it. Right? That's what he's saying. It's a paradox. By giving, you receive. Amen? And you know, Brother Doug was starting to touch on this a little bit this morning, talking about our nature and how our purpose and what we're called to do. And brother, sister, the amazing thing about all these things that I've been talking about tonight, it seems like it's hard because it's against our flesh. And our flesh is not comfortable sacrificing, right? But it is fulfilling to us. It is the most fulfilling thing we can do, in fact. Because your soul is satisfied.
Amen.
When you walk in sacrificial love.
Amen.
There is something in you that needs to be a blessing to others. And if you feel like you're missing something in your life, maybe that's it. Maybe you're too self-centered. Self-focused. Amen? Because to have a true, fulfilling life serving God, you have to live for others.
Amen.
Just one more scripture and then one more quote, and then we'll wrap this up. Proverbs 11:25 says, "The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself." Again, since some of those words are words that we don't use very often, here it is in the Amplified. "The generous man is a source of blessing and shall be prosperous and enriched. And he who waters will himself be watered, reaping the generosity that has been sown." So being a blessing will bounce back and you will be blessed. You want to be blessed? Be a blessing. Amen? This works with physical things, but remember it's always the soul first. Remember the question, what is best for their soul? We're dealing with other people. What is best for that person's soul? In that way, we should be led of the Spirit. Amen? Because let me give you an example, right? Somebody's asking you, we see it all the time. If you drive around Tucson, you'll see it. There are people with signs by the side of the road, right? And they're asking for help. They want money. You give them money, what are they going to do with it? They're going to go buy drugs. Or they're going to pay off somebody who's giving them drugs or something like that. Is that what's best for them? It isn't, right? In fact, even the county and the city now, they have put a thing out there. Please don't give money to them. There are programs, you know, help have them directed to get food or real help physically, right? So, don't give money to a drug addict, even though they are saying, this is what I need. I need this money. Help me. That's not helping them. Right? That's not what's best for their soul. Amen? What would be best for this person's soul? So it might not be what's most comfortable to their flesh or to your flesh. Amen? So we must be led of the Spirit in all of these things. Brother Branham says this. This is the last little. I just want to read this quote here to you. Amen. As we wrap this up, Revelation chapter 5, he says, a few days ago, I was sitting and talking to my loyal little friend here in the city, a medical doctor, Sam Adair, and he said, how are you doing, Bill? We've read this before, but this is, it's just such a wonderful encapsulation of what we've been talking about. He said, oh, pretty fair, I suppose, doc. I said, yourself? And he said, oh, I got a lot of patients. Said I had 15 examinations this afternoon. And I said, well, that's good as long as it's just examinations and you're finding nothing wrong. I said, we got to talking about when we were boys. And I said, well, doc, I don't know just how long I'm going to be around. We're both in our 50s. And he said, that's true, Bill. And I said, but all these years, about 31 years of ministry now, I've kept my heart prepared for that hour when he comes. So it doesn't matter when he comes. And he said, that is true. And I said, the greatest thrill that I have is living for others. And he said, that's what life is. That makes life real. It's not what you can accomplish for yourself, but what you can do for others. See, that's when you're really living. And if there happens to be someone among us who's never did that, or tried to live for somebody else, give that a try. Just see how much more life holds for you when you will not live for what you can get yourself out of life, but what you can give someone else in life. This is a paradox. This defies our reasoning. This defies everything that society tells you to do. He says, but you'll find that it's more blessed than riches or anything that can be thought of, is what you can do for someone else to make life's burden. Which life is itself is a burden. It will make it a little lighter for somebody else. You just don't know the joy unless you've tried it once to do something for somebody else. Amen. You say, well, I don't have much to give. Well, give what you got. Amen? This is not a pull for money. We're not talking about that, right? We're talking about being a blessing. There was, just a little lad with his lunch, and he just had a few loaves and a few fishes. But Jesus took what he had because he gave it up. He gave it to him, and he multiplied it. Amen? You never know how God is going to multiply until you give of yourself. Amen? I needed a Savior. I needed a Lamb. I'm so glad He gave me what I needed. Aren't you? He didn't look at you and say, well, you deserve this much and you deserve that much. You know, what do they need? He didn't give me what I deserve, but He gave me what I needed. Amen? He looked at you and He met your need. He looked, brother, sister, He looked at you. He looked at your life. He looked down through the portals of time. He looked at your life, at your soul. He said, she needs a Savior. And He met that need. Amen? At a terrible cost. No matter what the cost, He was going to pay it. Because we had a need. Amen? Amen. Let's live a sacrificial life for others. Amen. Let's all stand this evening. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why He came to love me so. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. verse again.